This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. Happy St. Patrick's weekend.
Yes.
I mean, we want to take advantage, don't we?
Oh, yeah. The party. We will go on with this part. I think people started celebrating St. Patrick's Day on Wednesday last week, and we will drag this out probably until Thursday or Friday of next week.
Oh, my gosh. The green beer is probably flowing.
It's flowing like nobody's business. There's the green eggs and the green beer and the green ham and the everything green, including money.
And, well, you know, Dr. Seuss said it best, green eggs and ham.
That is true.
And, you know, that book is so famous. Everybody that's still got one, they might even be worth some money.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a long time ago that he came out with all those really good books.
Yeah, and Dr. Seuss, I would love to study his brain, because I've sat and tried to make up some of those words that he made up, like pantookas and wazzles and things like that. I have tried to make up those words, and I just can't do it. He must have had a very interesting brain.
I think he did, and I love the drawings, you know. I love the big hats on everybody.
Yeah.
And have you ever thought about the way they looked?
I mean,
they didn't look just like normal little beings,
no.
Did they?
No, not at all.
and he became so famous for all of his little books and his sayings, and there's no telling how many of those books sold.
Oh, yeah, I know. My goodness.
And his music, I mean, there's just, you know, the things that he did was wonderful. And I love the little movies about it. Everything about it, I was impressed.
Yeah, just a genius.
He was a genius. And, you know, a lot of the people that did kids' books never had any children.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the people that did children's books and all these things for kids, I talked to a lot of people, and they said, no, they never had kids.
Well, I didn't know that. Wow.
But yet they were funny, and they did wonderful children's books.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Dr. Seuss, but I know a lot of the others that I've read about had no children.
Yeah.
And yet they were extremely funny.
Wow. How cool.
It is cool. And my children got many years of enjoyment out of all those books.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that all these people wrote children's books.
Yeah, because without them, our whole culture would be changed.
It would be changed a lot, because the things they've got nowadays are just not real great, as you and I both know.
Yeah.
I mean, now, my grandchildren this week did go to Build-A-Bear. Now, are you familiar with Build-A-Bear?
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Oh, Build-A-Bear's more fun than anything. And because it's almost Easter, they're making Build-A-Bunny right now. And you can get a rainbow bunny.
Really?
Yes, rainbow bunnies, and they have real long ears. Their ears go down past their little waist. I mean, things have changed. You know, used to, bunnies were pink.
Yeah.
All the bunnies I ever did were pink with little powder puff tails.
Yeah.
Well, now they're rainbow colors for little girls.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they're not just soft pink and white. They're rainbow colored. They've got all kinds of different pinks. And they have got long ears, as I said, down to their waist. Times have changed.
Wow, my goodness, I guess so.
Yes, and the Build-A-Bear Company has more revenue than half the country. They do. I've read about them, and their revenue is just astounding what they make.
Half a country.
Yes. They make more money than, you know, some of the big, huge companies. They really do. And little kids go over there and they just get them a bear just like they want. Mm-hmm. Then you have to buy all the clothes for them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we've had a Build-A-Bear for a long time. And so now we've got the bunnies with the long ears, and they're, as I said, they're rainbow colored. They're not like anything you and I would think of for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We've come a long way.
We had gone to Build-A-Bear several years ago and Build-A-Bear and gave it to our dog.
Oh, the dog got a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. My goodness.
It had the little voice, you know, talker thing where you record into the voice thing.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, what did the dog think?
He didn't like the voice thing, so he chewed the voice thing until it wouldn't work anymore, and now he loves it.
But he loves, is it a big bear or a little one?
It's huge. It's like double his size.
Oh, my goodness.
But he drags that thing around like nobody's business.
And he knows it's his.
Oh, yeah. That's his special bear.
My goodness. Well, now I've heard everything.
I know.
I wouldn't have thought of having a Build-A-Bear for a dog.
Yeah, Build-A-Bear. Not just for kids anymore.
So they're for dogs and they're for kids.
Yeah.
That's just, by golly, amazing.
Yeah. Well, they were looking at us.
I learn something new every day.
They're like, where's your child? Don't you want to build a bear with your child? We're like, no, this is for our dog. And so we had to build it. So we were the only adults that were actually building a bear, but they didn't care because they were still selling something.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, this just, I'm glad I learned about that.
Yeah.
So dogs like them, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And did you get the normal color?
Yeah, it was just a regular brown bear with the big, huge snout on it, and we put the little voice changer thing in the paw, and so now he drags that thing around. It's huge. It's like a regular size, but compared to him, it's huge.
Okay. And should I ask what kind of dog you have?
A Labradoodle.
Oh, yeah, they're adorable.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So he has his own bear? Uh-huh. Does he sleep with his bear?
He does, yep.
Okay. Well, my goodness. Now, folks,
now you've
heard I want
it.
Y'all to know we've all learned something new. That your dog needs a Build-A-Bear also. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's give out the phone number
on
that
note.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So,
and I'll bet Ivy Cottage doesn't have any Build-A-Bears either.
You're probably right about that. So today being St. Patrick's Day, one of the things we all think about is the pot of gold. And we all want the luck of the Irish, and we all want green things, which is also the color of money. And if retirement is based on a lucky pot of gold that you may or may not find, then you've got some problems.
Wow, I hadn't been thinking about the pot of gold this morning and the little green men.
Yeah.
But this is going to be an unusual day. I can see that right now. I mean, you know, well, if you have not found the pot of gold, even though I was reading today about somebody that had found some ancient gold.
Really?
You know, just like, you know, they find on the bottom of the ocean, you remember all these coins that they found in those old abandoned ships.
Oh, yeah, the old treasure.
But, treasures, and I don't think that's going to happen for you or me or anybody in Midland, Odessa, or Pecos, you know. So the best thing we can do is plan for our retirement, since I don't think we'll be getting that pot of gold anytime soon.
Yeah, no, waiting on leprechauns to deliver pots of gold, that's not a retirement plan. You need to invest. You need to start planning your money. You need to start growing your money. You need to do some smart things with your money, because you the last thing you want to have happen is grow it, like, say, for like many people do in the stock market. Something happens, and then all of a sudden you have nothing, and then after years of investing, you're starting over. You've essentially wasted years upon years. And so there's a lot of people right now that I hear from that are looking for something a little bit more secure, a little bit more stable. Now, obviously, we know there's risk with everything, but you know, you can reduce your risk greatly by making alternative types of investments, like investing in a life insurance policy.
Yes, I think so. And, you know, I talked to one of my clients outside of Midland, and she told me the other day, sent me a little note, and she said, Faye, I've had one maturity a month.
Really?
Yes, for the last year, and I did not know it. I looked up her portfolio, and she's absolutely right. She's been having one maturity a month, and that is great. I mean, can you imagine?
Wow.
Now, that hadn't happened to everybody. Everybody hadn't had that, or, you know, there's no telling what would happen. But we have had an awful lot of maturities, more than we've ever had the last year and 3 months now, you know. So, you know, we've just had all the Estes money is now in everybody's account. Two of the other policies, the money is in their account. We've still got some more that has matured. So it's been a real good year. Now, not everybody had something come due this last year because, you know, we've got so many clients. And I was looking up how much money we are now looking after, and it's $70
million. $70 million?
Last time we checked, it was 60. We are now overseeing $70 million of client money.
Wow.
Through the banks. And that is just, you know, a wonderful thing that we're able to do that.
Yeah.
And that they are doing good, that their money is handled by the bank, not us. It makes it safer. And, you know, a lot of the investments that people do, it's not handled through the bank, you know. People have access 100% to your money, and they can do, you know, however they think. And, you know, we made up our mind years ago that every dime of clients' money would be handled through the bank and not through our accounts. We never touch anybody's money. It's never made out to us. We have a trustee, which is the bank, that handles their money. And, you know, we're recommended every week. Somebody recommends us, people come and want us to handle their money. And we have a lot of people that we're handling their children's money, their mother's money, their uncles, aunts, you know. And it's really a family deal because once we start making them money, they tell other people. And, you know, it makes it a wonderful thing that, you know, we can handle these people's money, that we can make them money safely. And as you said, there is risk. I don't know anything in life that there's not some risk to, you know. When we get up in the morning, you know, it is a risk. We may trip and fall over the children's toys. You know, I mean, anything can happen in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say all accidents happen in the home, and I believe that. So when we say there's risk, there is. The biggest risk is that the policy will go over, it might go over a year, might go 2 years. And, you know, if you're that low on money, you shouldn't be doing it. Because, you know, most of the premium are, you know, $500 to $1,000 or less, unless it's those old policies that we're still fighting. You know, those still haven't matured. We've still got three left. So that is a risk. But other than that, everybody knows going in what the risks are. They know what the rewards are going to be. They know that it's not liquid during the time it's invested. You know, you have to wait till maturity if you need some money. But our people, you know, 99% are accredited investors. You know, they either have $200,000 in income every year, or they're worth $1 million without the house.
So this type of program is really it's specific for maybe somebody who's been investing for a little while, maybe in other means, maybe has been in the stock market for a while, take out some of that profit, get into something like this. This is not something that, you know, like your first time, maybe first time investor who's just kind of dabbling here and there. This may not be for them. This is for probably people who have been investing and have already grown some money somewhere.
That's right. It's for people that are middle income people, you know. Mm. It's not for the person that has $10,000 to invest or $5,000. Our minimum investment is $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this tells you where they need to be in life. In other words, you've already got $200,000 or $300,000 in your 401k. There's no doubt about it. Your wife has a 401k. She probably has $150,000 or $200,000 in her 401k. So this is for people that, like you say, they've been working for years. Most of them have been working for 20, 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a 401k. They may have more than one. So I've had people bring me two or three old 401ks plus their new one.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, Faye, I'm going to retire in 2 years. well, we've got to start working on it, you know? And you're going to want to leave this money in after you retire and then just take so much a month or so much quarterly, you know, to live on. And, you know, you're going to have to tell us, you know, I'm going to need $100,000 a year, $150,000 or $60,000. And that's how much cash we will keep in their account at all times in case they need that money. And it's no different than if you were working. You know, you're going to still need about the same amount of money. Their houses are paid off. Most of the people that we have as investors, you know, they've been working long enough, their homes are paid for. They don't owe anybody. Maybe a credit card, you know, or something like that. And then we have people that are helping their grandchildren, you know. And so you have to be careful how much you give them where you'll still have enough to live on. It's wonderful to have grandchildren. It's wonderful to help them. But don't give them everything, mm-hmm. you know. Give them what you can afford to, and don't run short. Yeah, and that's the only thing I ever worry about is, you know, they get so enthusiastic about their grandchildren, they love them so much that they want to help them, and sometimes they help them to the point that they run short.
Yeah.
So you never want to do that.
Yeah.
You want to say, okay, I can afford to give you this much, and that's what you give them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're making out your wills, or if you're doing a trust, you know, you set it out in writing how you want everything handled. You know, this person gets this much, this one gets this much. And some people say, I have a farm or a ranch, and I don't want it sold. You know, it has sentimental value. Maybe it's been in your family for 100 years. Well, you've got to put it in writing, you know. And people who don't have a will, your wishes are not going to be known. Nobody's going to know what you want done. And it may not be like you want done. So, you know, there's a lot to getting ready for retirement. And we never know, you know. You could be in an accident. You could be, be able to do what you want done or tell people. So, you know, it's never too early to get your will done, to get a trust done, to get everything straightened out. And then when you do that, you're going to say, okay, I need to also get my retirement set. So that's when you come to us and you say, Faye, I want to invest my money. This is how much I want to put in. This is what I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think that over. Then they come back later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, we always say, go home, talk to your wife about it, think about it. And if this is for you, come back and we'll do this for you. You know, we'll get your account set up at Nevada Trust. And you know, the other thing, we don't mention this very often, but if you have cash, overnight cash at Nevada Trust, they put it in government bonds overnight. So you're always getting just a little bit of interest on your money.
Really?
Now, if it's over, if it's at Bank of Utah, they don't give us anything. You do not get anything overnight funds.
Hmm.
And, you know, we have been moving a lot of money from Bank of Utah over to Nevada Trust because of the fees. The fees are just so high. They're high to me, and then they're high to the clients. So, again, we're moving a lot of money. Eventually, I hope to have it all over at Nevada Trust because I just love doing business with them.
Yeah.
You know, I like the way they take care of the customers. I like it because they give us overnight money, you know, and the other one doesn't, and the fees are not near as high. And when we make that transfer, they don't charge anything for the first year to help us out.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It is cool, and we appreciate them doing that also. But when people come to us, they're wanting to make a change. They're wanting to get out of the stock market before they retire. You know, they don't want to leave it all in the stock market and then, you know, have to do it at retirement. And there was some people came to us this week that we used to know in El Paso, you know, when we had that office there. And they came to us and they said, our company is selling on April 1st. We need to make some appointments with you. We want to move our 401ks over to you. So we're anxious to do that. We're anxious to hear from them.
So really what it comes down to is all around financial planning.
Yes. You have to do, you can't just say, I'm going to do this part of it. You've got to think about the future, how you want it handled, how much money you're going to need coming in, and how long you think you're going to live.
Yeah.
A lot of people say we're going to live forever. Well, we know that isn't true. But they might accidentally live 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's a long time. and you've got to have income. And you don't want to run short, and you don't want to have to cut down on what you're doing. You want to live just like you're living now. Do the same things. You want to be able to travel, of course. A lot of people are buying a lake house. I've got a lot of people that have bought lake houses. They've bought them around Austin. A lot of them plan to maybe retire to the Hill Country. I've got a lot of people going to East Texas, to Palestine and Tyler. And then we've got Granbury. A lot of people are retiring at Granbury. Granbury not only has golf courses, it has the you know, a lake and boating also. Mm. So, you know, people are thinking about it. They're not just sitting still. On weekends, they're going out and researching all this, saying, okay, you know, I want to do this. I've got a few that have bought farms, and I don't know how that'll work out. But, you know, if it's just a fun little farm with a few acres, you're in good shape. If you get too many acres, it could become a working farm.
Oh, yeah, it could be very overwhelming. It'll swallow you up in a hurry.
That's exactly right. Then you have to buy a tractor. Then you've got to buy a plow. But my idea of that farm is just a few cattle on it, you know, and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And not make it where it's a hard-working farm. So, of course, when they come and talk to us, I ask them all this. What do you plan to do at retirement? How much money are you going to need? Are you and your wife both going to retire at the same time? I've got some people, the man retired and the wife has not retired. And, you know, sometimes she's going to work 3 years longer, 2 years longer. You know, you never know.
Well, I've actually heard people say the words, well, we're going to retire in a couple of years. I think we've got enough. If not, we may just have to cut back here and there. We'll figure it out. That's really, really dangerous.
Very dangerous. That is not a good idea.
No, because when it comes down to it, you know, you look at people who are wealthy, who are in good shape, who are, you know, they have that solid foundation so they can retire, they can travel, they can, as you say, buy the farm, they can do all these different things. They didn't just fall into it by accident. Something didn't just all of a sudden happen unless they won the lottery, and that's few and far between. All of it really comes down to the planning process. They were responsible with, you know, their finances, and if they didn't have everything buttoned up at the beginning, they got it buttoned up. They did the planning. They did the securest growth avenue possible. They planned not only for the retirement, but they planned after the retirement. They planned, you know, what's going to happen even after the retirement. You know, once they pass away, what's going to happen with what's left over. All these things have to be planned out. So it's really that whole big picture of the financial planning, and all of it is so essential. And I think a lot of it sometimes can be intimidating to people, and maybe that's maybe why they procrastinate, because it just seems like this huge mountain that they just don't want to tackle.
Well, and a lot of times people don't want to have to face the fact that they've got to plan. They want to just kind of ride along in life and be oblivious.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you're going to wake up one morning and oblivious is there.
Yeah.
And you're saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so the best way to do it is say, okay, let me quit procrastinating. I procrastinated for 6 months, 7 months, whatever it is. I need to go and talk to Faye. And, you know, it's easy. You come in and talk to me. If you like us, if you like the program, if you like, you know, the safety and the way it works, then we want to help you. If you don't, it's not any big deal, you know. But most people who come to us go ahead and do business with us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why we have such a huge amount of clients, because all these people came to us, they liked us, they came back, they had us move their money, they had us get it at the bank, the trustee is handling it, and the nice thing about it is all the premiums are right there at the bank. They're escrowed in advance. Everything that's going to happen on that account is escrowed, you know. We don't leave it to chance. We don't say, well, you know, we'll collect this money later. You can't do that. You've got to escrow the money. If it's a 24-month policy, escrow it. And that's what we do. Then the bank does the payout for us. They make sure that every premium is paid. And then when this person passes away, again, we call upon the bank. The bank gets a certified death certificate. They send it in to the insurance company. The insurance company pays the claim. And it takes, you know, 6 weeks usually. And we always get people who get anxious right at the end, and they'll say, well, I haven't heard anything from you. When is it going to be in my account? We send an email. We were sending out emails on one this week telling people the money is in your account. Then everybody says, how soon can I reinvest? Well, it's not going to be instant, you know, because it's a lot of money. Like the Estes policy, that's $4 million, you know. So it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks. It's not going to be instant. But everything is handled by the bank for you. And you can always look up your accounts. You know, if you can't, you can call us. We'll do it for you. We'll email you your account and what you made for the year. Or if you're just looking to remind yourself what policies you're in.
Yeah.
And then there's people that need to be in annuities. They can't qualify. You know, they've only got $60,000 instead of $100,000. Well, those people have to go into an annuity. You know, you cannot do this program unless you have $100,000 and you are accredited. You do not have to be accredited to do annuities. But they will check when we give them what your income is, what your debt is. It has to be just like anything else. You can't be real deep in debt and do an annuity.
Mm.
They will not let you. They don't want the you to have to need this money in 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So, again, you've got to be stable. You've got to have, you know, $50,000 to $60,000 at least to do an annuity.
Well, and I think one thing we should point out is you've got such a massive operation over there. You know, to go from $60 million to $70 million in financial management, that's no corner lemonade stand. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that are going on here. This is a big operation, and there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of policies, but there's also a lot of money that needs to move around. So, you know, when you're managing, you know, like a policy like Estes, which is $4 million, it takes a few minutes to you know, maneuver the funds around when it matures and all that. So this is a huge deal, and your money is secure, and it's about the safest investment opportunity around.
Well, I think that, you know, when you weigh what the risk and what the reward is, I think it works out pretty good. And as we always say, nothing is 100%. You know, policies could go over. You know, an insurance company could go broke, but in my experience, we've never in Texas had a life insurance company go under. And they're so big, if one ever fumbled, somebody would buy it, you know, and they always have because they're so valuable because of the premium income. You've got a huge premium income on every life insurance company. Mm. And then life insurance companies have to put up reserves a lot more than banks do. I mean, there's so much difference between the reserves on a life insurance company and on a bank, it doesn't even, you know, it's an amazing story, you know. And as I said, our clients have made an awful lot of money with us. They're doing very good, and it's because the money is at the bank. It's handled by the bank. It's not handled by, you know, anybody else. It's always a third party handles your money, never our company. Checks are never made to us. And I think it's just a safer operation,
yeah.
You know. And you know, we learn just like everybody else how to do it. And when you start out years ago, we did it differently. But now, you know, we've never had anybody make checks to us. We've always made sure the checks go to the bank.
Well, I mean, in speaking of, you know, starting this many years ago, there's nothing that can compare to the experience that goes along with doing this many, many years. Because when you're looking at life insurance policies to bid on for people to invest in, you're looking for certain things, and there's certain types of cancer that you don't bid on because of things that you've seen in the past. And generally, these types of things don't pay off. Instead, on the converse, you know, you're looking for other types of policies because, you know, historically, these other types of policies pay off well. You know, life expectancies are generally less than others for certain types of cancers. So when you're looking at these policies to bid on, what types of things are you looking for? What types of things are you not looking for? What do you stay away from?
Well, we stay away from seniors. We love seniors. But, you know, they're not sick. They're going to outlive me and probably you.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're old, but they're not sick. And that's why we stay away from seniors. We're not going to do an 80-year-old. We're not going to do a 90-year-old. And, you know, we know the kinds of cancer that we seem to have the best luck with them coming in early. You know, we do pancreatic cancer, we do stomach cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer is a big deal with us because of the way the women do it. You know, we bought some policies this week. We bought two cancer policies this week, and both of them had reoccurred, and you know, it's because they were doing that funky stuff in Mexico. Mm. You know, you can't play around with cancer. It's a serious disease, and you need to do traditional medicine. Do traditional doctors, and women won't do it lots of times. They're going to go to Mexico. They're going to go to South America. They don't want to be cut on. And I'm going to tell you something. They're going to pass away much quicker by not doing traditional medicine. It's just, you know, that's the way it works in life. So, you know, we encourage people to always do traditional, but that, you know, they're not going to listen to me or anybody else. They think they can do a shortcut. There is no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we've had a lot of tonsil and tongue cancer. This is the first year we've ever been exposed to that. And a lot of people are selling their policies that have tongue cancer, and they have tonsil cancer. We bid on one this week. I don't know if we're going to get it. That it started in the tonsil, now it's in the neck. And, you know, these are deadly cancers. And so when we work on this, we read everything they say. We read everything the oncologist has said, and we study it, and then we bid on it. And as you know, we don't get everything we bid on, but we bid hard on these policies. We try to pick up the ones that, you know, have the best chance for early returns.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last year we've had an awful lot of early returns. We've had some that went over. You know, Estes went over. And but yet when it paid out, look what it paid.
How much did Estes go over?
I think it might have went over a year.
Oh, so that's not
long
at all.
It might have been 8 months. I don't remember how long it went over, but it did go over, and yet it had a tremendous payout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might have had two that went over this year that paid out, but most of them were short. You know, we had all these that we had done in January of 17, and they've already matured. And then we had some that we had done later in the year, and those, you know, was 5 and 6 months. So you can't always tell on cancer. When they say it's 12 months, it may not be. And it might be 13 months. But we've had a lot of them that thought it was 12, and in 3 months they had passed away.
Wow.
So we don't always know. And sometimes I've been really lucky. We've had two 30-month ones. Some people said, oh, that's too long. I said, no, I'm telling you that person is really sick, and they've missed something on it. Because I read it so many times, I knew they weren't going to go. They went 12 months.
Really? Down from 30?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I've had that happen twice. And that's not big, you know, number-wise. But I did see something in there that I believed was going to make it, you know, they returned sooner. And it did. And, you know, you have to really study those things. And hopefully, you know, we'll have many more early returns this year, like we did last year. But we've already had some early ones this year, as I said, that were done in January of last year, and we had some that were done in mid-year, and they've already had a return. And they weren't real big, $250,000, $500,000, but it's money and it spends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the experience that we're talking about is, you know, you are able, you have seen so many of these policies and been through so many different types of scenarios that you can see these things that maybe other people can't, because you've basically been there and done that. And so, you know, when you go over these policies, if they're not absolutely solid, I guess probably, would it be fair to say that it has a litmus test of, if you would put your own personal, Faye Bagby, personal money into a policy, it's worth bidding on. If you wouldn't put your money in, then you skip it. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, and I'm more careful about other people's money than I would be about mine.
Ah.
Because I have an obligation to make the money. You know, that's why they put it with me, because I'm making the money. So I have to be very, very careful. You know, I don't want to put it in something that's going to go 5 years, you know. We don't buy 5-year policies. And I know other people do. I've heard of people that buy 5 and 7 year policies. Well, we don't want anything that long, you know. And a lot of people say, well, it's an IRA, it won't matter. But I want, we're doing sick people. We're not just doing, life settlements. Our people are sick, they're ill, and that's why we buy them. And that's why sometimes it takes longer to get policies, because ours is a niche that just cancer, And a lot of people buy policies, they're just life settlements that are going to come due in 5 to 7 years. And we don't do that. Ours have got to, I like 30 months or less.
Mm-hmm.
We buy a lot of 24-month, 26-month. And somebody told me the other day, we're just going to start doing 12 months because of our age. And heck, some of these 24-month ones may be 12, and then you make more,
Yeah.
But we've bought a lot of short-term this year. We've bought some 15 months. We've bought some 12 months. And but as I said, my favorite ones to try to get are the 24 and 27 because, so many of them are coming in early. And if it comes in 12 months and you had 24%, that's not bad.
You still get the 24%. You just get it early.
You just get it early. If it goes over, it's the same deal. You're going to get the same percentage, but you're going to have to take out a little for the premium,
mm-hmm.
But it's not that much premium, so it will not hurt you. So when we do this for people, we're thinking about them and about the maturity and what we can do for them to make them money. And so, we're very careful about it. We're not going to buy anything that's iffy. If I look at it and it looks iffy, we're going to pass.
You're cherry-picking the best of the best.
Yes, if it's in remission, even though I know darn well it's going to come back in a year, 15 months, we don't take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, it has to be current cancer. It can't be in remission. But, like breast cancer, very few times have I seen it not come back. And lots of times those are the ones when they come to us, it's out of remission and it's come back on them.
Mm.
And usually, if it comes back, it's going to come back in 12 months. It's not going to go long. One of the ones that I bought this week, the breast cancer started in 13, left breast. And, they did operate on it, but it came back anyway. They didn't get it all, and that's usually what happens. So now it's serious. I mean, it is deadly serious now. So that is the kind that we bought. And, you have to always think about that. If it didn't get you the first time, that second time, I guarantee it's going to.
So that's something that maybe an inexperienced person in your position might miss. They may not consider that as a contributing factor. And so that's what sets you apart. Because you can spot things like that and recognize opportunities for people to make money, hopefully much more aggressively than some others.
Yes, we try to do that. And when we're bidding, we know what we have to make for the client. We can only bid it so low, because if we get down too low, the client won't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes we're outbid because somebody will say, we don't care what it is or how low it goes, we're going to buy it. Well, that's okay. They're obviously not paying their clients as much money as we are, So, we consider that. What is the client going to make? Can we bid it and still give them, the money that we always give them? If we can't, we're going to have to pass on it, even though it may be a great policy and one that we really want, So we just have to do our best and to bid it at what we know we have for the client.
Yeah. We'll get into where these policies come from and how they end up being able to be bid on and invested in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and that phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And again, we're at 3105 Big Spring. Been there for years, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you've always got interesting, fun things to talk about for trivia. So what's on the plate today?
We're going to talk about Poteet, Texas.
Ooh.
Poteet, Texas, down by Austin, Texas. Poteet is a little small town, 2,000 or 3,000 people, not very many, but it's the strawberry capital of Texas.
Really?
Strawberry capital of Texas. It's also known as Steve Canyon. Do you remember Steve Canyon, the comic strip?
No.
Okay, Steve Canyon's ward. It was a long-running comic strip. Milton Carniff was the one who did that. And it's named after Poteet. And there's a mosaic of Poteet Canyon. It stands in front of the fire station.
Ooh.
Yes, and then James Mitcher. You remember when he did Centennial?
Uh-huh.
Okay, the cattleman in that was R.J. Poteet.
Really?
He's the one that led the drive of cattle north from Texas to Colorado.
Cool.
So, and it was famous for that. It's famous for two other things. George Strait was born and raised in Poteet.
Yes.
And then David Lee Garza, the Tijuana music legend. He was born in Poteet. So a lot of things happened. And, of course, I can't believe you don't remember that comic strip.
I don't.
And it was named after Poteet, Texas. Now, the Strawberry Festival has been going on for years. And it's going on. It starts April 13th through the 15th every year. It's a big going on. And they have all kinds of strawberries. They have festivals. They have all these big bands come there. So, you know, it's just 3 days of music and fun and eating strawberries, buying strawberries. All kinds of good things happen. Now, then, when they started doing this years ago, strawberries sold for $20. And they don't sell for that anymore. But 1921... they invited guests from San Antonio to partake in this newfound delicacy. The San Antonio Express read, "Crimson berries beckon hungry tourists."
Ooh.
Yeah, and then the Rotary Club got involved, and they started the festival. The first one was 1948, and they've been going ever since. And it's just, you know, 3 days of fun, eating a lot of strawberries. People come from everywhere, all over Texas, you know, to have fun and to do this. And, you know, it's just a little small town. But I cannot believe that they can grow strawberries there and do this kind of a job in Poteet, Texas.
So during the festival, do they have, like, chocolate-covered strawberries?
They have every kind of strawberries you ever wanted.
They have strawberry pancakes?
Yes. And they have a big strawberry there. That stands in front of the town, huge thing. And, you know, it beckons everybody to come and try some strawberries.
Ooh.
And so it's a fun deal, and they give scholarships. Now, I hadn't told you about the scholarships. They try to give out about 8 scholarships a year off of what they make off of the festival.
Really?
And that's, oh, yeah. And these scholarships have been going on for years, and it's over 2 decades, and the Strawberry Festival established this scholarship program back then, and it helped each year. There's probably 30 scholarships now that they give out. And then they said, okay, we're going to give 10 scholarships each year to 7 different people that will stay and get their degree. Not only did you start college, but you've got to finish. So the churches, the school, all the civic operations have food booths, and all those booths are going to donate their scholarships as well. And they said, you know, we're always going to do that. And the kids that graduate, they're going to get, you know, they get an extra scholarship toward their graduation.
Well, that is such a cool thing to do. You know, people can go and have fun and help some other people without even having to try, really.
That's right. So, you know, if they can give out 30 scholarships and then they give out these other 10 to people who stay in college and get their degree.
And you have to finish.
And you have to finish.
Wow.
Or you won't get all the money. But it's a wonderful thing. And as I told you, there's festivals all over Texas every month. There's three or four a month all over Texas.
Yeah.
They're just finishing up the Balloon Festival in Austin.
Mm.
And that's been a big deal every year. All those balloons flying. And, of course, as you and I talked about last week, everything for St. Patrick's Day. And Dallas has the biggest one. But Shamrock one, as we talked about, is going on this weekend. And that's going to be a delightful one. I love the fact that they've got a beard contest and all that other. And, Miss Rose, Miss Irish Rose is going to be crowned. And some high school girl in Shamrock, Texas, will be crowned Miss Irish Rose.
Cool.
And a lot of people, don't have that opportunity anymore, to have the crowning and have the rest of the year that you'll be, seeing it, everything, the football games, everything they have going on. And I think small towns should all do that and, have something for the kids that really gets them enthused about their town. So I don't know how many others had festivals this weekend, but that was really my favorite, even though Dallas has the biggest parade in the Southwest. And those little kids are standing on every corner watching that parade.
Yeah, they are. It's huge.
It is huge. And then they've got every kind of booth, every kind of food you can dream up, and you can eat all day long during all the festivals. It doesn't matter which town you're in. They're going to have wonderful food for you to eat.
Oh, yeah. I love when they have all these food vendors and all the smells of all the foods kind of mix. It's just this magical outdoor festival smell of foods that just draws people in from all over the place.
It does. And they always have things you and I wouldn't even think of to eat.
Yeah.
Things that we wouldn't even think, well, you can do that, and there it is. And they're selling it, and... when I've gone to those, I've eaten all day long, just having fun, and having corn dogs or having the ice cream with all the chocolate on it.
Yeah. Anything on a stick is really delicious at a festival.
It is, and they usually have everything they can think of on a stick.
Yeah.
And and then the carnivals, old-fashioned carnivals, I can remember used to they'd have a hippo, and they'd have a big tank and put the hippo in the water. And those old hippos would go under the water, they'd come up, and the little kids were just crazy about all that.
Well, you don't get to see a hippo up close and personal very often.
No, you don't. And I think that's a big thing for a lot of kids in small towns. They haven't even seen all these animals. They don't have zoos, and so... a lot of these things, it's their first time. And if they've got the big ring, at the circus, they get to see animals they haven't ever seen, like monkeys and things like that. So anyway, I love small towns, and I love what they do in small towns. I think it's interesting, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, small towns tend to do neat things without trying to impress anybody. They just do it because they like it, it's fun, and really nobody cares, and it's just fun. They're not trying to impress anybody.
That's right. They are not. And when you see the people, they're just having a good time and visiting their neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's worth going to small towns and remembering how the small towns act.
Yeah.
Everybody lives in a big city, and they forget all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're racing up and down the freeway.
Yeah. You don't do that in a small town.
No. And they know their neighbors, And in big cities, nobody knows hardly anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got their own little circle of friends, But in small towns, they know everybody in town. And they know who goes to the Methodist church, the Christian church, the Baptist, the Catholic. They know everybody.
Yeah.
And, they just get along. And it's an old forgotten custom. Did you know that?
Yes, it is. It really is.
And so I applaud them.
Yeah.
All right, let me give out the phone number.
Okay.
It's 877-588-3330. Let me do that again. 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and we're talking about these policies, and people have a chance to invest in these policies to help grow their money. So For those who haven't actually done this type of alternative investment before, where do these policies come from?
They have to be from licensed providers. We cannot buy a policy unless it comes from a licensed provider. And we use the three biggest in the country. And they provide these policies. They will send us over policies to bid on. They'll say, this is what we have available. And, of course, you know, we bid, you know, four or five policies every day. Sometimes that's mainly what I get done during the day is I'm bidding policies, you know, and see if we can get them. And sometimes it takes 3 weeks before the bidding stops. And sometimes it's a week, but you never know. But they send you all the health information, everything they have available. And if it's $1 million, we require two opinions.
Yeah.
Not one. We have to have two. Because $1 million and up is a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
And we want two opinions. If it's less than $1 million, we will take one opinion.
You don't want to take just some guy's random word for it when we're talking about this kind of cash.
No, when we're talking about your money, we're being very careful. And we send the clients a copy of the health for them to look at. And they can read it or not read it. Or they can call me and say, Faye, go over this with me. Mm-hmm. And we will do it. They could come in and talk about it. You know, whatever they think is necessary, we will do it.
Now, folks, I'm just assuming here, but folks who have been investing with you for a while, I assume many of them maybe don't read over the policies because they're used to the process. They know how it works. They know if it's up for to invest in, then it's a good policy. I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that newer investors probably go over the policies in very great detail.
I'm sure they do. And then they call us, and then I talk to them about it, or somebody at the office may talk to them about it. But people who've been with us a long time, they've had this type of policy before. Like if it's breast cancer, they've probably had one before with us. They know how it works. If it's pancreatic cancer, I'm sure they've had that. Most of them have had the different kinds of policies. They know how soon it came due, and they know how it works. So, you know, they're anxious to get in it. New people, they don't know how it works. You know, they're putting in their first 100 or first 200, and so they won't know until they get paid on that first one how it really works. And once they've gotten paid, they always say, okay, now I know how it works. Now I know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it may go the whole length. It might go the 24 months, or it might not. And as I said, if everybody will look at what has come due this last year and a half, they can see how it really works, you know. How many came in early, how many came on time, and how many came in late. And all of it's important. There'll be a certain amount that will come in early. We know that now.
Mm-hmm.
We know some of them will come in on time, and some of them may come in late. We had one the other day that was 1 month late.
Oh, wow.
And so that was close.
So
you don't always know.
To back up just a little bit, these policies come from people who have been diagnosed with cancer, stage 4 cancer. And so they need to sell their policy for, generally speaking, one of two reasons. One, to go ahead and settle their estate because they know they're not going to make it. They want to get everything taken care of, make sure that, you know, their will is going to be executed the way they want it to, make sure the right people get the right inheritance and all that. Just go ahead and get it settled. Avoid family, you know, feuds and
trauma,
all kinds of things.
Trauma, family, exactly.
Yes. And the other reason people sell their policies is because they need that money to go ahead and get cancer treatments because they're so expensive. And for that to happen, they need people there to buy the policy, and that's where you come in.
Well, and most people need it for treatment, I'll just tell you. Mm-hmm. It is very expensive to have cancer. And a lot of these men, it's usually men that we buy their policies. Remember, they were working. These are men 45 to 65 years of age. So you cannot work usually if it gets this bad because you're doing treatment all the time. You're either doing chemo, you're doing radiation every other week. We have people right now that are going every week for treatment. If you're going every week, you're usually too weak to be working. So they need this cash to help their family, usually, always. Now, the people that are wealthy, that sell us their policies, they just need to settle up because they don't want anything left to chance. They want to go ahead and give the family the money now, and they're not going to wait until they pass away.
Yeah.
So we have two types of people.
Mm-hmm. So the bottom line really is that policies are not being confiscated from anybody. They need to go ahead and sell them for different reasons. And so it really helps everybody out. It helps the policy holder, and it also gives people an opportunity to invest in a non-traditional type of investment, grow their money so they can help plan retirement and really go ahead and retire and still enjoy the things that they like to do.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you've got stage 4 cancer, you're in bad shape to start with.
Yeah.
You know, and your health has declined so much that usually, you know, your family is so important to you, and you want them to go ahead and have the money now, you know, for treatment for you and for other expenses. We've seen people, we did one about a year ago. The man owned a construction company. His wife could not run the construction company with him ill. It was just really a sad deal. So they wanted to sell it, get her out from under it, and then for her to live on this life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important for them to go ahead and get the life insurance because it was going to take a little bit of time to sell the company.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know what their situation is. And this does help them an awful lot. And then helps our clients. Our clients, our investors, you know, are looking to make some money for their retirement.
Yeah.
And so it helps two different types of families.
And really, the investment itself, it's one of those where you don't really have to work. You don't have to get up at midnight wondering if it's gone up or down because the value is not going to change. You're going to get, in fact, you're going to know up front what the payout is going to be, minus any, you know, if something goes over and you have to pay a little premium, you know, that's all figured. But you also know how much that's going to be if that happens. And so that's really the brilliant part of this type of investment is that you really know what the numbers are. It's not a guessing game or, well, you know, maybe this or maybe that, or hopefully I won't lose anything. It's a very comforting type of easy investment.
Yes, it is. And it's so much simpler not having to worry, you know, to know that it will come due, you will get paid, that it's from a major life insurance company, you know. It's not from some little podunk company. It's a huge life insurance company, and that's what makes the risk so small.
Yeah. So for those, Faye, who are thinking about doing this and want to at least come in and get some information, they should probably be somewhat educated on what their situation is right now, because they're going to have questions, you're going to have questions, and it becomes a discussion. And so people need to be familiar with what their situation is. So for those who are thinking about coming in to talk to you for the first time, what should they do today to get ready to come see you?
Well, they need to look up all their assets. And look and see if they have, you know, $1 million net worth, and a lot of them already know that and some don't, or what is your income? So, you know, they need to provide either us the income or the assets. Either way, it doesn't make a difference. And then a lot of people forget that in addition to their assets, the 401k is one of their biggest assets. Yes, you can count the 401k. I've had people say, well, can I count the 401k? Of course. And you can count your ranch, you know, your cattle, you know, all these other things are big assets. Remember, they're on your financial statement, so you know they're an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we will help them with that. You know, we go over everything they've got. We tell them, you know, what this is going to make, how long it is, what the risk factors are. If it goes over, you know, what it will cost you in premium. We try to give them everything they need to know. We don't want them to have anything left to chance.
They basically just need to do a little bit of research at the beginning, and then at that point, you set it and forget it, and people can just keep on investing and rolling over and making money for years and years and years. You just have to get the ball rolling. So to make an appointment to come see you next week, one more time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.